Good morning. My name is Leonard. Welcome to Journey. Hey, just to wade through a little bit of the Christianese, he said. this is not another Bible study. I wish I could say just another 8 weeks of just getting together, just consuming information. For me, as long as I've been saved for a while, and I'm telling you, after 9 or 10 years of being saved, and now all of a sudden saying, okay, I'm going to apply the gospel to every area of my life, that it has been transformative. And what I mean by that is, and so I would have conflict in my house now. So instead of me just reacting to the conflict, whether it's my wife or my children, I put on my gospel ears and I listen. And I filter it through the gospel. So if my daughter has a problem with performing, like she feels like she needs to do more and perform more to be loved, and I say, you know what? You don't have to do that because Jesus, he's done it all. He's performed. He's covered that. All sin, past, present, and future, he's forgiven you of it. So in that, you can rest. And from there, you being loved, you can now obey. And just kind of like walking with people through those things. And that's not a boom, it happens overnight. This is why the 8 week study is so important. You have to do it in community. You need to do it around the people of God so you can share a lot of your experiences. And this is going to be very uncomfortable because you're going to have to, you're going to be forced not to just sit and consume information. You're going to be forced to kind of lock arms with people and kind of wrestle through a lot of the, things that kind of the religion, okay? The religion of just going through the rhythm of work, relax on Sunday, church. Works, relax on Sunday, church. It forces you to think through the gospel in every area of life. And I'm telling you, you will not be let down. So with that being said, again, there's a sign-up sheet in the cafe, 8 week study, $15 for the book. And you can give it anytime you have the opportunity. We begin May 12th, the second Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday of this month. God bless. Oh, I'm doing everything. Okay. That's why you said call you up. Okay. Announcements. Offering. Do the offering. Okay, we'll do the offering first. So let's go ahead and call up the ushers. We're going to go ahead and pray. And today we're going to pray for not a ministry in general. We just pray for all the confusion and craziness going on in Baltimore and just our country in general when it comes to race relations. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for grace and for mercy. We are in awe of you and your creation and what you've done. We're all made in your image and in your likeness. And for that, Lord God, we just pray for our brothers and sisters around the country and around the world who are being, whether it's persecution or the persecutor or just confusion in general. We just pray for peace, that the Prince of Peace would come and reign and rule. We now await his return even more because at times like this, in the midst of the confusion, the only thing that's for sure, Lord God, is that you reign. And in the reality of knowing that you reign, Lord God, we don't just sit here in worry and doubt. We now sit here hopefully and joyfully just continue to praise and worship you. And we just pray that in the midst of praising and worshiping you, as you continue to work on our hearts, that we can carry the gospel to affect the hearts of others. And in that, Lord God, we will be so thankful. And we just pray that there's no more hurt and harm during the protest. We ask for clarity. We ask that you bind the enemy as he seeks to cause more confusion in this process. We pray for the Jaguars, and hopefully these picks make sense. And I can go to a game and not hang my head. I can actually walk out with my chest poked out. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for this offering that you've given us for the building of your kingdom. We ask that you give us wisdom in a way to use it in a way that glorifies you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Announcements. Now if prayer changes things, if it changes that, man, whoo, be something. Work going on at the new building every Wednesday, 6 to 9. Guatemala missions trip, sign-up sheet is in the cafe, still doing that. And also, big change, the men's golf tournament is changed from from May to June 13th. Also, there will be a Engage. Now, this is awesome. If you feel like God has given you gifts and purposes in life, you don't quite know what to do with them, we are inviting you out May 17th and the 31st as we talk about how God, you know, can use you in those things. And also, Journey Youth will be doing Mrs. Jacks. God bless.
Hi, there we go. Hey, good to see all you guys. One of the things that is very important to us at Journey is to have a kingdom mindset when it comes to reaching people in Jacksonville with the gospel. And so we willingly partner with other ministries that are doing that and sharing the love of Jesus with people. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. If somebody is doing something, we come alongside those ministries and support any way that we can. So this morning, we've got some people here that are going to share with you about a ministry that's going on here in Jacksonville, having a great impact. So I want to invite Jane Hart and the Sambows to come up. They're going to share a little bit about heartfelt ministries. And so as they come up, Jane is the founder of the ministry. Don and Debbie Stambaugh are part of Journey. They're involved in the ministry. Susie Kitchen is as well. And so they're just going to share a little bit, and then they have a table out in the front. But share a little bit about how the ministry started, what it is that you do, and just anything we need to know as to how to get involved.
Okay. Thank you, Vic. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, this morning as I was preparing to come, I said, Lord, what would you have me tell them? And he said, just tell them what I did. Well, I got here, and I started listening to what he's doing here. And I have to tell you, I've walked that exhilarating but scary road. And I would just suggest that you remain united. Let nothing negative interfere with what you know God wants you to do. Stay surrendered to his will and enjoy the journey. It's not all about the destination. It's about the journey. You know, I walked into the sanctuary for the first time today, and I've never had this happen before, but I was stopped in my tracks. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is thick here, really thick. 12 years ago, God heard my prayer, and it had to surprise him because for 12 years I'd been running away from him. I knew he had a plan for my life, something he wanted me to do for him, and I was scared to death that it was going to require more than I could give and that I would fail him. So I kept avoiding it. But finally, that one night, I said, Lord, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but if I don't have the faith, will you forgive me? And the answer was, of course I'll forgive you, but you'll miss the victory. That was the turning point in my life. So I started Heartfelt Ministries because he revealed he loves Jacksonville seniors, and he wanted an organization of volunteers to help them stay in their homes. I knew nothing about how to do that, but if he wanted it, I was ready because finally my heart had said, send me. Over the next couple of years, it became very clear to me that at that time, Florida was number one in terms of the percentage of its population over the age of 65. But it was dead last of all the states in terms of the amount of money, governmental monies, that were set aside to help these people. There are about 100,000 people in our community who are over the age of 65. Almost half deal with a disability that keeps them from doing their daily activities. About a third of them live alone. Most are widows. And about 10,000 people are ill with no safety net. We don't know how they are surviving. Heartfelt is here to bring volunteers, to provide love, to enhance their environments, to build relationships, and to preserve their independence. God loves this city. And so, we have, over those 12 years, recruited over 625 volunteers to serve over 1,200 people. These are mostly one-on-one matches, and our volunteers provide 1 hour a week. But it's building a relationship, sharing the truth of God with them, and reminding them they're not forgotten. So many of them, once they couldn't drive, can't get to their churches anymore and have been forgotten. Forgotten by friends and family. Many have died before they have, and they don't know who to trust anymore. Many are homebound, and all they have is their television set giving them bad news all day. We are there to provide all kinds of housekeeping, grocery shopping, respite for family caregivers. We do yard work, help them organize their bills. We do repairs and build wheelchair ramps and have been described by Habitjacks as the only game in town for getting a wheelchair ramp that is built to spec with good lumber that will outlast the clients at no charge. We have been truly, truly blessed by God. So for the first time now, all these 12 years, everything has been operated from my kitchen table. But Friday, we moved into an office for the first time, and it felt like moving the tabernacle into the temple. And you probably are feeling the same way. I'm blessed to be here today. We're going to have a table out front later. If you'd like to know more about Heartfelt, our volunteers tell us they are more blessed than we are, more blessed than the client is, and no one can say it better than a volunteer. So I'm going to turn it over to Don Stombaugh, who's been a volunteer with us for about 5 years now. He and Debbie. Susie connected us with the Kingsmen a couple of years ago, but y'all have been very, very busy, and I'm hoping now in God's timing that we're going to reconnect. So I just thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks, Shane.
It's a privilege to be associated with such a fine organization as Heartfelt and Jane. And Jane is just an awesome person and following God's lead to her. As Jane said, it is so much more blessing that Debbie and I get from visiting our friend. We have a 91-year-old lady. We've been visiting her for 5 years. And she now calls us her adopted kids, and we feel the same way. She's just a precious lady, and we help her really and truly with her loneliness. We do some work, and yes, you know, we've done dishes and laundry and some late housework, but she really just wants our time. And our impression is that's what most of the other elderlies are looking for, just time. An hour a week is what they ask the volunteers to do, but you'll find if you volunteer that hour, you know, it'll turn into 2 hours very easily. You'll just want to spend time, and you'll want to bless them, and you will walk away definitely more blessed than that person. But I also will say this, it's really good knowing that we know that we've made a difference in one person's life. And if it's just one person's life that you can help and affect, really, really makes you feel good. So if you have time, we do need volunteers. Please come and talk to us.
I just want to share a quick story. When we first volunteered for Heartfelt, what happens is they provide you with a list of clients, and you are encouraged to look in your zip code and give Jane the person's name and tell her that you would like to be, you know, matched up with this person. Well, when we first started, it was like the third person. Things just weren't working out. Either they no longer needed the service or we couldn't reach them. And I said to Jane, I said, you know, maybe this isn't what God wants us to do. I'm not real sure. And Jane encouraged us to just keep praying. God just hasn't found that right person yet. And so we waited like 4 months, and we finally got Miss Ann, and she has been a true blessing. But what I want to share is it's amazing how God just allows your paths to cross different people, because one night we're sitting there talking to her, and I see this picture on her table. And I said, oh, Miss Ann, I said, who is this couple? I said, I know this lady. And she said, oh, that's my daughter-in-law. And it turns out that her daughter-in-law was a long-lost childhood friend of mine. Her mom and my mom were best friends, and I had not seen her in 40 years. And it's just amazing when you sit back and think how God guides your paths. And I was thinking, maybe he didn't want us to do this. The timing just wasn't right. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jane, I think Miss Ann had not been signed up at the time. So he was waiting. And being the person I am and saying, God, why not? But he has just truly blessed us. And so if you're sitting there today thinking about what you would like to do for God and asking God to lead you, we encourage you to pray about this organization. Heartfelt is a wonderful organization and does a lot of wonderful things for a lot of people. Don and I have a passion for elderly people. We had my father living with us, and we've done things with his mom, and we have just been so blessed. And, you know, I know we're all busy, and we work hard, and there's days where we would go after work, and I'd say, God, just give me the strength. And, you know, we'd walk in there and see her smile, and that's what it's all about. And you learn so much from the more experienced people that have been there, done that. And you just learn, and God just leads you to do different things for different ones. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to pray for Heartfelt, and if you would just bow your heads, thank you. Dear Lord, we just come to you this day, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have today to come and pray and talk about Heartfelt. And Lord, you know each and every client out there that is on that list that needs somebody to come by and just give them a little bit of time. And Lord, you know everybody sitting here today, and you know their hearts. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you encourage different ones. If Heartfelt's not for them, but you just encourage them and lead them where you would have them to be. But if Heartfelt is, Lord, I just ask that you give them confirmation today, and that they would please check out Heartfelt. Come and speak to any of us, Susie Kitchens or Dawn or myself, Lord, and Jane. We'll all be out front today. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the many blessings in our lives. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I just wanted to add one other thing regarding the need. The waiting list right now is approximately 500 people, so we do need volunteers. Definitely do. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, it's easy to look at a ministry like this, and, you know, it's kind of a service ministry, and think, oh, you know, it's a nice thing to give time to the elderly here in Jacksonville. And I just want to make sure that we're reminded of Jesus' words, whatever you've done for the least of these, you did it for me, you know. And they're like, well, you know, when did we see you sick? When did, you know, when you brought food, when you visited me when I was sick, or when you visited the sick, you did that to me. And then we have James who says, you know, true religion is to take care of widows and orphans in their distress. And I just want to challenge all of us with that. You know, this may or may not be for you, but an hour a week can be a life-changing experience for someone else and really be a life-changing experience for you as well. And so great opportunity to do what God's called us to do, to share his love with people right here in our city, and just to remind them they're not forgotten and that they're loved. So stop and see them out there if you have any interest in that. We were talking about this Engage class Leonard mentioned, and there should be a sign-up sheet out there for that, because we're going to have childcare. It's two nights, May 17th and the 31st. And it's exploring what our gifts are, what our passions are, and how to use them for the glory of God and for his kingdom and be involved in his kingdom purposes. And you know what? It's like when you start doing that, that's when things like Heartfelt are born. I was glad Jane shared her story, like, God, what do you want me to do? And, you know, and we all kind of have a little bit of that in us. And sometimes it just takes exploring that and allowing God to stir that in you. And it may or may not be birthing a ministry like that. It might be. It may be leading a small group. It may be just being a part of something that's going on. But I want to encourage you, if you're available, come out on those two evenings. We're going to talk about this. We're going to pray through this. And I really believe that God's going to use use that to just stir in us as a community, new ideas, new ministries, and people who will lead things and be a part of things that are going to bring change to our city and to the world. Because that's how God works. He uses everyday people like all of us in this room. So talk to them if you're interested. They'll be out in the foyer at the end of the service. This morning, we are starting a new series. We are going to jump into the book of Hebrews. And this series is entitled, Jesus is Better. If we were going to simplify the book of Hebrews, it would be that. If I could just bring it down to one thing, it's Jesus is better. And the author talks about Jesus being better than the Old Testament way of worship and the Old Covenant. Jesus being better than or superior to the angels, to the high priest. He goes through all these different areas. And so we'll just simplify it. Jesus is better. He is superior. Now, make no mistake about it. Hebrews is not a simple book to go through, okay? Some people shy away from it. There's some things that are difficult to understand as you walk through the book of Hebrews. I want to let you know up front, we are not going to get bogged down in some of those things, some of those debatable issues. Some of those passages we'll go through, and I'll give you kind of the different sides of different views, and I might share a little bit of my opinion, and we're just going to move on. Some things I'm just going to come and admit to you, I have no idea what he's saying, okay? There's some tough passages in there, and we'll walk through them. But I just want to remind us, we don't gather together to read the Word of God, dissect it so we have more information that goes into our head, you know, so that we can quote more passages, we could win more debates or arguments. We get into the Word of God because we believe, first of all, it is the Word of God, and it's powerful. It can transform our heart and our mind, and our hope is as we get into it, it will do that, and it will equip us to live out the mission that we're to live each and every day in this world, okay? So we're coming at it from that perspective. So there's a lot in this book that we might not have answers to, and that's okay. In fact, when you first get into the book of Hebrews, one of the things we have to realize, we don't even know who wrote it, all right? We don't know who wrote the book. Some people say it was the Apostle Paul. Some say Barnabas. We don't know for sure. Many people would argue that it's not Paul because the style is so different. He doesn't identify himself. But the way the book is written, it doesn't matter who authored it, okay? It's part of the Word of God, and there's something for us to glean from it. So it's written to a group of believers, Jewish believers who are tempted to go back to their old way of faith and their old way of worship. And so he is emphasizing the superiority of Jesus to everything. So we're going to begin in Hebrews 1. I'm going to read through 1 through 14. I don't think we'll get through all of that this morning. But if you have a Bible, you can turn to Hebrews 1 or it'll come up on the screen. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Let's pray. God, as we look at your word, I pray that you would bring light to our minds and hearts. Help us to understand what you're saying to us, what it means for us today, how it applies to our life. And through it all, may we be drawn closer to you. May we grow in our relationship with you. May we see you for who you really are. God, open our ears and eyes to this, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So a lot here. Look at verses 1 to 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Okay? Right off the bat, I mean, it's like, it's no, you know, there's no real soft welcome here. And, you know, I mean, he just jumps right in it, you know, like, boom, this is Jesus, okay? And he does it in like four sentences. It's almost like the walk-off statement. He can just get up there and, I mean, you take that, we could preach, we could go through like a series of 4 or 5 weeks just on these, you know, these first few verses. It's like a walk-off, drop the microphone, that's it. That's done. I don't have to say a whole lot more. This is who Jesus is. But look at the very beginning, because I want to walk through this slowly. In the past, God spoke. Let's stop right there. Our God is a God who speaks. Genesis 1, right? And he said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Okay? God is a God who speaks, and he always has been a God who speaks. And he speaks his Word, and his Word is powerful. It says by Jesus' Word, everything is held together. So God is not silent. The problem is his people don't listen very well, right? I mean, just read the stories of the Old Testament. We're not good at listening. And then at times when we are good at listening, then we don't follow up and obey. May we be a people who listen. You know, we have scriptures that say, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And we think, you know what, that's really good. That's really good info for us when it comes to communication interpersonally. Well, what about our relationship with God? We run to him with our laundry list of prayers and then we run out. Listen, we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, because he's a God who speaks, and we need to listen. And when we listen and we obey, it changes everything. Because if we're not listening and we don't obey, we miss out on God's best. Okay, when they didn't listen and they didn't obey, they wandered around in the wilderness and missed the promised land. Not that God didn't still love them. Not that God doesn't still love us when we disobey. But we can miss out on God's best. And it's my hope and my prayer that we be people who listen to his word, because he's a God who speaks. So like Reed was talking about last week, we need to take that time, maybe in the morning when we sit, and not just do your quiet time and your Bible study. Make sure you take a moment and go, God, what do you want from me today? What is it that you want to say to me? Help me to listen. And he may speak to you through his word that you're reading that morning or something that happens later in that afternoon. But he is a God who speaks, and we need to be people who listen. So the writer says, God spoke through the prophets at many times in various ways. And so when you read the Old Testament, you see that, right? I mean, God spoke in some crazy ways to the prophets and through the prophets. Dreams, visions. There was angels who appeared. Jacob wrestles an angel, which is crazy and cool all at the same time. I mean, you can't even imagine seeing an angel, let alone like locking up with one. Elijah, he hears God with a still small voice, but then there's this other moment where he's with the prophets of Baal. He calls down fire from heaven, and God tells everybody through that he's the one true God, right? So he spoke in various ways through the prophets. And it's like, now he says, listen, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, and his Son brings us a better word. It's the final word. It's funny. Let me just read this last little portion here. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And as soon as some people hear that little phrase, in these last days, like their antenna go up, right? In the last days, right? You've read every Left Behind book. You're really on edge about that whole thing, you know. In the last days, the end times, right? We get up. In these last days, I want to tell you, we are in the last days, okay? The end times are here. And I'm not some doomsday prophet bringing some crazy revelation to you. I'm just saying, after the coming of Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we are in the final days. We await his return, okay? So, his word now is the final word. So, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. But for those of you who get a little crazy when it comes to last days, end times things, let's not forget his word, okay? Matthew 24:36-39. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, no one knows the day or the hour. And let me add, or the month or the year, okay? Because people write crazy books. Oh, no one will know the day or the hour, but we got it down to the month. And it's coming at this, you know, the last quarter of 2015. This is going to happen. Listen, all I know is that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, and his Son has said no one will know, okay? So what do we do? Well, that's what the word says. We should be watchful, right? But here's the thing. I think if we do what Jesus said when it comes to worry and struggle, and he goes, why do you worry? Why do you have anxiety in this world? Seek first my kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All that stuff will be removed from you. If you're worried about the end coming, seek first his kingdom today, and you won't have to worry about what's going to happen tonight. You won't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. What is the church? What do we say the church is? The church is what? The family of God living on mission. It's who we are. It's what we're called to do. And I believe if we take that seriously, as the family of God, we're living together, living on mission, building relationships, living out what God's called us to do, to go and make disciples. If we're doing that, we don't have to be so worried about when the end will come. Okay, we don't have to be worried about the fact that, you know, some people are going to be caught sleeping and slumbering and not doing what the master called them to do. Listen, if you're living out the purposes of God each and every day, it's going to be okay. I mean, if the sky parts today and you're not doing that, okay, then maybe there's something to be concerned about. But let's not forget, Jesus, who speaks a better word, who is superior to the angels, to the prophets, he is also the one who came and gave his life for us and invites us into the relationship with the Father through grace. And grace is there. Okay? Look at verses 2-5. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Okay, so again, just in these few sentences, he says so much about who Jesus is. The Son is the heir of all things, and the universe was made through him. So since he's the heir of all things, as heir, one day he is going to rule and reign over everything. He is going to rule and reign, period. So as dark as this world looks and all the struggles we go through, we have a promise in Scripture. There is a day coming when every tear will be wiped away, where every disease sickness will be healed. There'll be no more death, no more dying. There's a time coming when he will rule and reign. It says that he created, the universe was created through him, okay? So it makes sense. If he's the creator of all things, he's going to rule and reign over all things. So what the writer here is saying, and make no mistake about it, that the Son, Jesus, is Almighty God. All right? Now just, I want to make sure we all understand that. Jesus is God. It's the thing that separates us from every cult. It's the thing that separates us from Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons. You know, you have these conversations. Everyone's pretty good with Jesus, right? I mean, yeah, Jesus, we believe in Jesus. Just ask them, is Jesus God? And you'll see, that's the line in the sand that they don't want to cross. Okay, he's Almighty God. And we see this picture of this here. And I think it's important for those of us who understand the grace of God, understand that Jesus came and he invites us into a relationship with the Father. He calls us friends. And we see Jesus in that light. We have to see him as the Son, risen, glorified, Almighty God, high and lifted up sometimes. Okay? Now, for those of you, you know, who have your Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt, you know, this might mess with you a little bit. Because I just think we take that relationship sometimes too casually. Now, there's a weird tension there because, you know, God, the creator of all things, spoke the world into existence. I mean, you think of him and you go, oh my goodness, it's like Isaiah, if you've ever read the story in Isaiah 6, when he stands before the throne, he's like, I'm undone, I'm broken. And so he's this picture of God. But then he stepped out of heaven, was born like, you know, not at the center of things, but, you know, like out there somewhere in a manger where no one expected. No big, you know, fanfare, here's the king, no. Shepherds and a few angels, and he comes and he's a man of sorrows. You know, he's beaten, he's crucified, but this is the same God, okay? And he's the same one who says, I love you, and he dies for you, and he gives his life so that we might have life. And, you know, just think about that. When you think of Jesus, what do you think about? And I want to ask you to do something. Humor me here for a minute. If you would, just take a moment, okay? Let's just take a moment. If you would, close your eyes and envision Jesus. When you picture Jesus, what is that picture that comes to mind? How do you see Jesus? Man of sorrows, suffering servant. Human yet divine. Now just hold on to that for a moment. And listen to John's words. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstand was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing like fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. This is Jesus. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. God, help us to see you as you truly are. I mean, Is that the picture that comes to mind when you first think of Jesus? Was that the first kind of picture that comes to mind? I mean, this is what John saw. And the crazy thing to me is that John was one of the guys who walked with Jesus. I mean, John was one of the guys who Jesus had to correct at times, you know, because they're arguing about who's the greatest. Can you imagine? They're arguing about who's the greatest. They're walking with Jesus. And then one day, boom, he sees that. I'll show you who's the greatest, right? I mean, holy cow. And he's on his face before him. But here's the cool thing to me. And Jesus is like, puts his hand on him. He's like, it's almost like he's saying, it's me. I'm the one who was dead. Now I'm alive, right? And the writer of Hebrews says, the Son is the exact representation of the Father, okay? So when we read this passage, I mean, Hebrews 1, those first five verses, when it comes to who Jesus is, make sure you hang on to that one, okay? If you're going to remember, I mean, just remember who he is and what he's done. He says, not only is he exact representation of the Father, it says that he made purification for our sins. In just a little bit, we're going to share communion together this morning. And when we share communion, we remember what God has done, what Jesus has done for us. Okay? But I want to just talk about this for a moment here, and we're not going to get any further than this. So we'll pick this up next week. But I just want to talk for a moment here about what the author of Hebrews is saying when he says, okay, he made purification for our sins, and he sat down at the right hand of majesty. Okay, because Jesus, his word is better than the word of the prophets. He is superior to the angels, and he is superior or better than any priest or any high priest who's ever walked the face of the earth. And the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand who he is and what he has done. So the role of the priest was to minister on behalf of the people. So they'd go into the tabernacle area of the temple, into the holy place, and they would offer sacrifices. And they would offer sacrifices on their own behalf and on behalf of the people. And as they did that, it would remove their sin, not fully, but from them, so that their conscience would be cleared, but their sin would never be taken fully away, because Scripture says that the blood of bulls and goats cannot remove sin. Period. So that's the role of the priest before God, mediator between man and God. And now it says that Jesus, the ultimate high priest, he made purification for our sins. And when he did, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Okay? So here is Jesus, God. Okay, and now the whole, I wish I had time to explain the Trinity to you, but I really don't have 100 years, okay? I mean, it's one of those things, but we have to understand what we can. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, all one in essence and being, three persons. We worship one God in three persons, okay? Scripture is clear. Jesus, if you can't read those first five verses and see that he is God, there's something wrong. We see the same thing about the Spirit and obviously the Father. And so God steps out of heaven to this earth because he loves his people. The same one who John sees just in all of his awesomeness is the one who stepped to this world, took on flesh, and laid down his life. And he makes purification for our sins. 1 John 2:1-2 puts it this way. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. So Jesus makes atonement, purifies us from our sins, sits at the right hand of the Father. And you go, okay, so he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing, right? What's Jesus doing as he sits at the right hand of the Father? And let this be an encouragement to all of us. Look at what it says in 1 John 2, verse 1. If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. See, he sits there as our mediator, the one who goes to the Father in our defense. So when you do sin, and you will, and maybe you did before you walked into this place today, right? Jesus, the one who I read about in Revelation, who is there in all of his glory, you know, the sword coming out of the mouth, eyes on fire, he sits, in your defense before the Father, if you've put your faith in him and your trust in him. And so this morning, as we share a moment and share communion together, remember in his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, I want us to also remember how awesome he is. Remember him in all of his glory. Okay, so I want to invite you to stand, and I want to take a moment and pray. The band's going to play a couple songs, and as you feel led, just take some time, go up with family or friends, and remember who he is, and remember what he's done. God, help us to understand this unbelievable mystery that you, Almighty God, have come into this world, that you took on flesh, that you walked with men and women, just like all of us in this room. And then you gave your life, not just for them, but for us, so that we might have a relationship with you. God, thank you for loving us that much. God, help us to see you in that light as high and lifted up, and see you for who you are. Almighty God, creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, but the one who extends his hand and says, I love you, you're my friend. The one who sits in heaven and stands in our defense when we don't deserve it, God. May that do something to our hearts, God. When we turn our backs to you and we choose our own way, you sit in our defense. And you sit because it is finished. The price has been paid. And as we share this moment of communion, breaking bread and taking this cup, may we understand a deeper meaning of the new covenant in your love. Thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.